friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we bring you part three of my chat with the energetic Andy Edwards about the year in world athletics. Andy says a 35-year-old Kenyan athlete earned an award as the best female marathon runner of 2018.
Gladys Chirono was voted by the members of AIMS, and that's the Association of International Marathons and Distance Runners. So it's the race directors and all those involved in the management of marathons and distance races around the world. They voted for Gladys Chirono. Now, why did they do that? Well, Chirono won Berlin in September, and did so in the fastest time of the year, 2 hours, 18 minutes, 11 seconds. It was also a personal best for her and a course record on this super-fast Berlin course. Chirono had high-class track credentials before she switched to the marathon. She'd ran in the World Championships, 10,000 metres. But it was interesting to talk to her in Athens when she won that award, because she gave some context to her running career, going back to her school days and how her running career began.
You know, when I started running, when I finished high school, I saw that I was just talented, and I was having that talent. So when I ran road races, I started running road races, not the track. So I ran road races, and one day I say I must try my best to run in the track, so that I see, because I saw myself I was capable of running, because I was faster in running road races. So I tried my best running 10,000 in the track, and I ran my best, and I go to World Championship, and that's where I saw myself that I'll be among the top runners.
Andy, the calendar is moving towards the Olympic Games of 2020 in Tokyo. Looking at the men's marathon in Japan, how has the win by Mo Farah in Chicago in October affected prospects?
I believe that Mo Farah's win in Chicago, good quality competition, maybe not as tough as New York or London, but certainly high quality race, that has really set down a marker, because Farah improved on what was his British record when he finished third in London in April. He ran 2:05, so he broke the European record. And running 2:05, that is really top quality. Okay, when we think Eliud Kipchoge, his world record holder from Berlin, has run 3 minutes and a bit faster, but we're looking at the Olympic Games, that's a championship, and there's no bigger championship than that, the marathon in Tokyo in 2020. No pacemakers, it's all about the individual. So Farah's win in Chicago in October, another big feather in the cap for himself and his coach, Gary Loch. Mo Farah no longer, it seems, has any link to the American coach, Alberto Salazar. He and Gary Loch is the partner of the women's world record holder, now retired, Paula Radcliffe of Britain. They are forming a very impressive partnership. I've read in the last few months an occasional quote from Farah. I've not heard him saying it, but this is just in the press, that he might think of doing a track race, 10,000 metres, whether that's in Tokyo or perhaps even Doha 2019, the World Championships. But I think that would be a wrong move. I mean, they know what they're doing. But really, that win in Chicago shows that Farah can be a threat in the highest competition of all in the marathon, and that's the Olympic Games 2020. And he should be on that start line. And he certainly said after his London Marathon performance in April that he felt, he believed after that, he was a true marathon runner.
I think in myself there was a lot of questions about me leading up to 2014, where you've gone through and I'm going to change my training, change a little bit my training and still do the 10K and do the marathon. And it didn't go so well. So when I didn't run as well as I wanted and what I was capable of, thinking what I was capable, it didn't go well. You do question yourself, but obviously, and then come back again here in 2018, having run, you know, that 2:06, breaking British record, that answers everything. Yeah, I am.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards about the year in athletics. And Andy, looking ahead to 2019, how about some general thoughts on athletics and maybe athletic innovations in the new year?
Well, there's some very interesting developments that don't necessarily find favour with everybody involved in the athletics world. But it's clear the IAAF and the European Athletics Federation are keen to not just hold on to the audience they've got, but develop it. You know, there's always that question, how do we attract a younger audience, not wanting to knock out some of the oldies, such as myself, but to just say, well, we don't want a sport where youngsters who are used to, shall we say, more quick-fire stuff are just turned away from athletics. So there are attempts going on to create different forms of athletics. And one that caught my eye was next year in Minsk in Ukraine, in 2019, the European Games. And these are not the European Championships as we had in Berlin last August, which was track and field, while in Glasgow in Scotland, they had the European Games with various other sports. But this is another step further, because reading some of the, the preview material about the European Games in Minsk, which is being organised by the European Olympic Committee with European Athletics, it sounds a bit like sort of obstacle courses, almost military challenges, because they're calling it dynamic new athletics, the DNAF athletics. And it'll be team competitions drawn from the 30 top athletics nations in Europe, 17 athletes per team with half a dozen reserves, and it'll be a knockout competition. But you think, oh, OK, well, maybe that's similar to what we see when we have World Cup athletics. But here's the first event, Sonny. It's called a trackathlon, not a triathlon, but a trackathlon, which is an assault course. So I'm not sure how they're going to work it out in terms of, are we going to have teams of middle distance runners, long distance runners? Are we going to have shot putters combining? The aim, quote, is to spread appeal to a younger audience, those aged between 15 and 34 years. And then it finishes the competition in various events, the relay races, like the 4x1, the 4x4. There'll be mixed teams like men and women competing. And the last event is called the hunt. Now, it's not actually hunting people down, but it's the team which is leading overall in the competition going into this final event will start, and they're going to be pursued. I'm not quite sure how. So you can see what we have in Europe, quite separate to this, is in the last few years, or 10, 15 years, what they call tough guy races, where they are like assault courses, muddy, but it's not traditional cross country. You have to crawl under things, you have to climb over walls, run, wade through water up to your knees or waist. And it seems as if the organisers for these European Games have taken a leaf out of that book and say, let's have something different. Now, I have read a quote from some athletics pundits saying they think of it as Frankenstein's monster. So we'll wait and see. It should be worth taking a look at.
Andy, earlier you mentioned Jos Hermans, the manager of Eliud Kipchoge. Jos also manages Kenenisa Bekele, the Ethiopian star. How much gas is left in Kenenisa's tank, so to speak, after he dropped out of the Amsterdam Marathon in October?
I think there are big question marks about Kenenisa Bekele and his future. I don't think he's going to go back to the track. Of course, a world record holder, 5 and 10,000 metres, but he had big problems with his Achilles. Those injury problems, in part, are why he seems, for at least some of his marathons, he's gone into the marathon with what most people at the top level would regard as insufficient preparation. That is, instead of being having your focus, whether it's London or Berlin or Chicago or New York or Boston, and that's your target and your goal, and you work towards that for, say, 3 months, Bekele, after and I have to say it's after sometimes some very good performances in the marathon, has said, oh, well, I was training for 8 weeks, or a matter of certainly fewer weeks than 12 to 14 weeks. Now, that could be because he's having to nurse that Achilles tendon. But after Kenenisa Bekele dropped out of Amsterdam Marathon in October, it was fascinating to read online or to listen online, and I don't speak Dutch, but there was a transcription of the interview, his manager Jos Herman speaking and being interviewed in Dutch and saying, if I was to summarise his comments, Kenenisa Bekele has got to decide whether he's a businessman or a runner. If he still wants to be a runner, he's got to spend more time in preparation for the marathon, otherwise he's not going to be able to do it. It was very unusual to hear a manager talking so openly about one of his athletes, and indeed one of his best ever athletes. So fascinating to see how Bekele reacts and what he does in the future.
Thanks, Andy. That's the energetic Andy Edwards. And Andy spoke with me from London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. The first round of the 2018-2019 CAF Champions League will wrap up with 15 matches across the continent this weekend. Saturday features will include Algeria club Sportive Constantine, who are 1-0 winners against Vipers SC of Uganda. Shortly after arriving in Kampala, club Sportive Constantine coach Dennis Lavange was confident of victory.
The players are ready to fight Saturday and to win the game and beat the team of Vipers. They are very, very motivated and ready to play a very big game.
In other Saturday games, Nigeria champions Lobi Stars will be looking to overturn a 3-1 deficit when they host Kenya's Gomahia in Enugu. TP Mazembe will take a 1-0 lead to Ndola, while they will take on host Zesco United. And South African sides Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns will look to take hold of their goalless ties against African Sports in Windhoek and Al Ahly Benghazi in Pretoria, respectively. The peak of Sunday's game comes from Abidjan, where Ivorian giant ASEC Mimosas enjoy a 1-0 lead over Stade Malien, while Tanzanian side Simba will aim to overturn a 2-1 first-leg defeat at the hands of Zambian side Nkana. The 15 aggregate winners will join 2018 competition winners Esperance de Tunis in the group stage, while the losers will drop into the playoff round of the second-tier CAF Confederations Cup. And on to West African football powerhouse Ghana, where President Nana Addo Akufo-Addo has urged Ghanaians to remain calm while the normalization committee carry on their mission of ensuring a sane football environment in the country. Following a documentary in June which exposed bribery and corruption among several football administrators, all activities relating to the sports were put on hold, with FIFA and CAF mandating the normalization committee to sanitize the entire system. The president is now hoping that at the completion of the tenure of the normalization committee, Ghana football will come off better than it is at the present.
A new beginning in Ghanaian football administration is going to be started, because the process is there for them to make a new constitution and to begin at the beginning and put in a structure that hopefully will prevent the kind of things that we have seen in the past. That is my hope, and I think it should be the hope of all of us.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty holiday weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And let's give a birthday shout-out to Sir Joshua Zenit, one of our loyal Sunny Side of Sports listeners in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Happy birthday, Sir Joshua!
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The world-famous Harlem Globetrotters basketball team has taken their anti-bullying message to the Milneck Manor School for the Deaf in the U.S. state of New York. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. When Globetrotter star Chris Animal Height approached the microphone to speak in a gymnasium filled with students, he instead stopped his interpreter and spoke directly to the kids using sign language. Chris said, "I'm a child of deaf parents and I sign."
The reaction was priceless. It's not every day they can get people that they can relate to, especially professional athletes. So I know that made their day, and it made mine too. Hearing impaired, the community holds a special place in my heart because I grew up in a deaf household. My mom and dad were hearing impaired.
Chris, along with fellow Globetrotters Julian Zeus McClurkin and Brianna Hoops Green, also took time to show off their on-court skills to the delight of the kids. But the Harlem Globetrotters aren't merely an exhibition basketball team. They're also known worldwide as ambassadors of goodwill. Their visit was part of the Globetrotters' Team Up at School outreach program. TEAM stands for Talk, Empathize, Ask, and Mobilize. The program encourages 12 to 16-year-old kids to find a safe space to talk about bullying. One girl used sign language to explain how she does that.
She said that she talks with her mother and father when being bullied. That's a answer.
Team Up at School also focuses on the importance of empathy and how the camaraderie of a team, like in basketball, can be the same as offering support to one another to help stop bullying. Milneck Manor School Superintendent Francine Atlas Bogdanoff says the Globetrotters' anti-bullying message is particularly important for deaf students who can oftentimes feel isolated. She also praised the Globetrotters for helping the students express themselves and for giving them the chance to interact with stars who are also deaf or no sign language. The Harlem Globetrotters visit more than 300 schools and youth centers each year, and they, of course, continue to globetrot, electrifying audiences around the world. And that's all from me, and that also ends the week. Join me next week when I'll highlight some memorable sporty moments from 2018. On Monday, we'll look back at the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. And on Tuesday, Christmas Day, we'll return to the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. I hope you'll tune in, and I hope you're having a good holiday season, sports fans. Sonny, it's back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a good weekend, too. We're looking forward to your Christmas Eve and Christmas Day sports packages. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, there were two games, and the home team won both. The Miami Heat defused the Houston Rockets 101-99. This marks Miami's first three-game winning streak of the season. And in the other contest, the Los Angeles Clippers defeated the Dallas Mavericks 125-121. The game's high score for the Clippers was Gallinari, an Italian player. And in fact, I saw him in early August at the NBA Africa game. Danilo Gallinari, he was named the most valuable player of NBA Africa game 2018 in Johannesburg. And Danilo scored a Clippers career high 32 points in their 125-121 victory over the Mavericks. Two very popular Major League Baseball teams are taking their rivalry to London next year, as we hear now from VOA's Jim Stevenson.
Major League Baseball is going to England.
Play ball.
The World Series champion Boston Red Sox play their arch-rival New York Yankees for two games next June. Red Sox center fielder Jackie Bradley Jr., who was named American League Championship Series MVP and helped guide the Boston Red Sox to a ninth World Series title, thinks this first-ever Major League Baseball game in London will be a success, like the National Basketball Association and National Football League.
I believe so. I feel like this is going to be a great jump start to, you know, things to come, hopefully. We have two great franchises that are coming over here, and I think everyone is going to get to enjoy so many different parts of the game that we love. You know, hopefully we reach out and touch some people, and hopefully generations on down the line.
They say baseball is similar to cricket, although many fans might disagree. England cricket international Johnny Bairstow thinks hitting in cricket has developed parallels with baseball.
Oh, well, we've seen the way that power hitting is now going in cricket. It's something that is definitely coming into our game. You look at the T10, you look at the T20. So, yeah, there's definitely techniques that cross over with them both, like weight transfer, getting through the ball.
England bowler Liam Plunkett says baseball has actually been followed for a long time in England.
I think we love it. Obviously, it used to be on TV a lot more, regular TV, and I know my parents used to watch it. But you can watch it a lot now, can't you, on different devices and stuff, and also a lot of American fans in London. So I'm sure, I think it's sold out within 15 minutes, so it's going to be a great, great occasion.
As deep as the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry is, Jackie Bradley Jr. knows fans in England follow their own deeply rooted clashes.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing Liverpool, Man United. It's a pretty good rivalry, and to be, I guess, compared with that is... It's pretty special, and I think we're excited just as much as everyone in the UK is that we get to come over here and showcase our abilities and have fun, but also knowing that we're probably going to put our best foot forward because we all know that, you know, first impressions says a lot of things about you.
The Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees will face each other at the London Olympic Stadium in regular season games that count on June 29th and 30th.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball this week reached a landmark agreement with the Cuban Baseball Federation that allows Cuban players to sign with U.S. teams without needing to defect. The agreement is the result of more than 3 years of negotiations among Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball Players Association, and the Cuban Baseball Federation. Major League teams will pay the Cuban Baseball Federation a release fee for each player to be signed from Cuba, providing a huge windfall for Cuban baseball, which has suffered from dwindling budgets and the defection of its best players. The deal is modeled after ones Major League Baseball has with leagues in Japan and South Korea. In the past, many Cuban players seeking big money in the big leagues have defected and undertaken dangerous journeys via human traffickers, and others have abandoned the Cuban national team while traveling abroad. There are still big questions whether this new agreement will work under the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump, who has taken a harder line against the Cuban government than his predecessor, Barack Obama. And that wraps up the December 21st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, Tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, general elections are coming up in the Democratic Republic of Congo on December 23rd to determine a successor to President Joseph Kabila. An in-depth discussion on what's at stake in DRC's elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Each of Earth's living beings has a built-in biological clock that functions over a 24-hour cycle. The so-called circadian clock is a well-regulated biological process which helps keep our bodies healthy by regulating tasks such as sleeping, waking, body temperature, and other important functions. Now a group of scientists at Chicago's Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine have developed what they call the first simple blood test that will tell what time it is according to your body's internal clock. Called Time Signature, the test will provide researchers new insight into the impact of unsynchronized internal clocks on a wide range of diseases. One day, this test could become an important part of personalized medicine, helping your doctor determine when you should be taking your medications and other important health decisions. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News.